Today, rather than reading those 20 verses, as we kick off this series, I want you to watch Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 20.
Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. The disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Pray with me, please. Father, it's our desire to honor your word. I pray that you give us hearts that are soft, eyes that are willing to see, and a spirit that is willing to follow your word as it calls us today to seek after Christ. Help us to be pure in heart, to be poor in spirit, to be humble before you. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, recently I needed to take a trip home to Western Pennsylvania to attend the funeral of a good friend. Rodney Beatner is his name. He was a pillar in his community, 57 years old. Died in a house fire. It was a very emotional service, very emotional experience. It's hard even to talk about it right now. But together in that church in Seneca, Pennsylvania, we remembered the life of this great man. At the funeral, I got to visit with Dave and Shelley, a couple from the same church, which Kathy and I pastored in the mid-1990s. They looked so happy that evening, even though it was a difficult day, they just looked full of life as a couple. They had a twinkle in their eye, and I had known some of the recent events, but Dave shared with me. He said, "John," he said, "God is doing some amazing things in our life. This year we became grandparents. This year we're celebrating 25 years of marriage." I was, wow, I was thinking, the time has flown by, 25 years. He says, this year we'll be moving to Kansas City, Kansas. as a part of a team for a church plant in that great city, partnering with the Christian and Missionary Alliance denomination. He said, John, I feel like Abraham and Shelley's Sarah. We're leaving a job. I've been in this same job for 21 years, lived in that area in Seneca all my life, and going by faith to be a part of a team to start this church. He said, I'll be celebrating my 48th birthday at a national youth conference, Life 2016. And he said, at the end of that week, I'll be running a 5K. He said, now, should I die in the race? At least I've hit a few milestones in my life. He looks at me, he says, it's going to be a great year. I'm really excited about what God is doing. And I was so happy for them. They left the church and went up to the dining area because there was going to be a meal naturally following the funeral. And I wanted to go spend some time with my daughter. So I left and I got in the car and I had tears in my eyes. I just looked up to heaven and I praised God. I just thought, wow, Dave and Shelley, I never would have guessed it. Never would have guessed it. You see, it wasn't always like that for Dave and Shelley. While they were dating, they attended Clarion University together. And during that time, they let their passion get the best of them, and Shelley became pregnant. When Dave found out he was going to be a father, he got scared and he ran away and joined the Navy. He left Shelley alone, and I mean left her alone. She moved in with her parents, and he was in the Navy. He didn't want to face any of the responsibility. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, and so he ran away. Well, naturally, Shelley gave birth to a little boy. She got word to Dave, and the reality of fatherhood and the reality of Shelley being alone giving birth, alone meaning without him, it haunted him. He couldn't sleep. God really spoke to him. The Holy Spirit really convicted him in a powerful, powerful way. And not long after that, Dave used some leave time. He went home to see Shelley. He went and talked to her father. I can just imagine how that meeting went. But then he took Shelley out, and he looked her in the eye, and he said, I am so deeply sorry for my selfishness, for my immaturity, for running away from you when you needed me most. And I don't ever want to be that way again. He asked her to marry him, gave her a diamond ring. A short time later, Dave and Shelley married, and they continued on. Dave fulfilled his service to the U.S. Navy, and they never looked back. I saw he and Shelley in the church there a week or so ago, happy as could be, full of the Holy Spirit, loving God, loving each other. They're grandparents now. I looked at them and I said, well, you beat me to that one. Over 25 years, they have reminded each other, and this is what I want you to get. What's their secret? How could you have a start like that and end up where they're at? Look, hear me out. For the past 25 years, they have reminded each other that the point of the Christian life is to bring glory to God by putting on the character of Christ. Rewind. The point of the Christian life is to bring glory to God by putting on the character of Christ. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. The Sermon on the Mount is not so much about how to become a Christian as it is what it means to be a Christian. Now, the first five verses of Matthew chapter 5 will give us the core of what it means to follow Christ and be a Christian. But ultimately, 5, 6, and 7, those chapters are about how to follow Jesus. And here's what I need you to know. It's all about the heart. Putting on the character of Christ is all about the renovation of the heart. You see, Dave understood as he sat in a bunk in a Navy base, looking at his life, looking at how immature he was, how selfish he was, how badly he wanted to run away from reality, shirk his responsibilities. He was faced with himself, and he said this, I need to come to the end of myself. I need to come to the end of me. He basically came to the point where he said, I felt like I reached this point in my life when I had absolutely nothing left. I was embarrassed. I was upset with myself. I came to the end, and it turned out for the first time in my life that Jesus has become real to me. Jesus must become greater and greater. I must become less and less. That's what the renovation of the heart is all about. The point of the Christian life is bringing glory to God by putting on the character of Christ. It's coming to the end of me. And this is what we need to understand. If we don't come to the end of me, it'll be the end of me. That's what you need to say when you look in the mirror. If I don't come to the end of me, it will be the end of me. That's where selfishness leads. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. That's what Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are all about. A renovation of the heart. But here's what you need to understand. Getting to the end of me is not just a once and done thing. I must die 100 deaths every day so that Jesus can show up and give me abundant life. Now I have to admit this, and I had to admit this to Jackie in the earlier service. Yesterday, I said no to a sausage egg McMuffin at McDonald's. I said no to a Boston cream donut at Giant when I was getting my wife some flowers. I said no to pizza at Mario's Pizza Place. I said no to a 24-ounce cup of Wawa coffee with lots of milk and vanilla creamer. And you know, I'm not even going to tell you what else I said no to yesterday. I was so tempted to buy those things, eat those things. I came home and I said to my wife, I said, you know something? I saved $11 today. Doggone! I just saved $11. And my pants fit today. Proverbs, like a city whose walls are broken down, is a man who lacks self-control. The Sermon on the Mount is about coming to the end of me. It's about humbly following Jesus and letting Him design your heart. Young people, please listen to me, young people, right now. This guy up here with gray hair, if you don't get anything else today, here's what I want you to know. And parents, please talk about this with your children today. Real freedom. We hear so much about the word freedom in the United States. Real freedom is found in embracing the right restrictions. The fish must honor its design. It's made for water, not for land. We are designed by God for life with Christ, not a life of living for self. I remember talking with Dave when I was his pastor. He said, John, I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I just wanted to live for myself. I didn't want anybody telling me what to do, and I didn't want to deal with the consequences. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't want to listen to people. I didn't want to submit to authority. Well, here's what happens. That's how you lose your job. That's how people come to disrespect you. And I want to tell you something, young men. For the 5 years that I was Dave's pastor, he and his father-in-law were not enjoying the best relationship. Because his father-in-law, Shelley's father, was just hoping that this guy was actually going to mean what he said. Thankfully, he did. Lately, he's been called to ministry the last few years, and he's going to Kansas City, he and Shelley, and they're going to help plant a church. It's a wonderful story. But they got there. They got to the place where they are now by bringing glory to God as they put on the character of Christ. Every day we have to get up and say, real life is found at the end of me. Great friendships are found at the end of me. Passionate marriages are found at the end of me. Powerful churches are found at the end of me. Personal witness and influence is found at the end of me. Successful diets are found at the end of me, not at McDonald's or Mario's or Dunkin' Donuts or Applebee's. I could go on. The world is strong, the flesh is weak, and the enemy is determined. We need to tear down strongholds in our thinking. The renovation of the heart is a fight against self-absorption. And so we need to put on the Word of God, the armor of God, because there's nothing that makes you more miserable or less interesting, for that matter, than self-absorption. And so I'm going to give you two fighter verses. If Jesus needed Scripture when he was tempted by the devil, what does that say about you? You need the Word of God, and so do I. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do, everything flows from your heart. Guard your heart. What are you feasting on first thing in the morning? What are you thinking as you go to bed? What are you watching? What are you listening to on your phone? What kind of conversations are you engaging in? Above all else, guard your heart. Because where the mind goes, the man follows. And the theme for our series with the Sermon on the Mount is Galatians 2:20. Say it with me again. Say it with me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm done with me. I want Christ to live in me. And the life that I'm going to live, I want to live by faith in him, because I know he loves me and he gave himself for me. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount, you can unpack it by thinking of it in two ways. Verses 1 to 12, this is how the children of the kingdom are different from the world. Verses 13 to 16, this is how children of the kingdom make a difference in the world. This is how we are different from the world, and this is how we make a difference in the world. This is how you build character, and this is how you amass influence and transformation in society. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He didn't say, you hire the preacher to do it. Now, the preacher needs to be salt and light, but he looks at these people and he says, you are salt. You are light. What is salt? What is light? How is the kingdom life like salt upon the earth? How is the kingdom life like light in the world? We're going to be considering all this as the weeks go by. That's why I encourage you to be regular in your attendance. I encourage you to be reading chapters 5, 6, and 7. As we look together, we study together, we pray together. We try to understand how that translates into our everyday experience. Jesus gave a warning at the end of this passage. He says, I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That is a stern warning. If your righteousness is not better than that, you'll never enter the kingdom. You'll never enter into the kingdom of God on earth by the Holy Spirit, and you'll never enter the kingdom of God in heaven. What's he talking about? He says that the righteousness of the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, is flawed. And this flawed righteousness was a self-exalting form of human effort. It was empty of any true repentance or dependence upon the grace of God. true and lasting righteousness that Jesus offers. The righteousness that was flawed was from pride in their hearts, boasting about what they could do on their own. Whereas righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. It comes through faith and understanding that I need the body and the blood of Jesus. I have no righteousness of my own that has any power or merit to cancel sin in my life. Only Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' blood, has that power and merit and standing with God the Father that we would be forgiven. And so this idea of boasting in our good works, pridefully flaunting it in front of other people, Jesus says, if your righteousness is not better than that, you have no hope. And so we're going to explore this word righteousness, because it's awful easy to get religion confused with the gospel, and the gospel confused with religion. And that is a tragic mistake. The gospel is not religion. Religion says work hard. The gospel says trust in the one who has worked hard for you. Religion says earn your way. The gospel says you cannot earn your way. You simply trust in Jesus who provides the way and is the way. And we'll unpack that more and more as we go on. Pray with me, please. I'm going to ask those that are assisting me with communion and the band if they'll come up. Lord, bring me to the end of me. Pray that with me out loud, would you? Lord, bring me to the end of me. One more time. Lord, bring me to the end of me. Lord, there needs to be a renovation in my heart. Say it with me. Lord, there needs to be a renovation in my heart. I give you permission to enter into my heart and begin demolition and reconstruction. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be immature. I don't want to be stubborn and demand my own way and go my own way. I want you to become greater and greater, and I want to become less and less.